My name is Maddie. This is my macrology. Macrology is long and tedious talk without much superfluity of words. I don't know if this is going to be long and tedious. It might already be long and tedious. Every Monday, I have Mr. Music Monday or Meet Mr. Music. Those will be where I give you three bands and or singers or artists of any kind. And I'm like, this person's good, and I love this person because they're the best. And you don't have to listen to them, but if you like eclectic musical taste, that's what I have. I also will talk about theater like I am in this episode. I will pretty much talk about anything arts or performance arts related. I like to talk about reading too. That is a big one. Reading and writing and book suggestions. I also have a very eclectic taste in books. Okay. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, macrologists. How was your day? Good, good, bad, I'm sorry, I hope it gets better. Anyways, while that's out of the way, today's macrology is about acting and UIL theater specifically, how much I loved it, because honestly, I loved it, but also how much I hated it, because there are times where you grow to hate the things you love. It's also going to be about my experience going through the UIL competition, getting last. We'll spill that, talk about it later. Anyways, the shout out song for this week that I loved is I Don't Want to Be It's I Don't Want to Be by Gavin DeGraw. It's a good song. It's fun to sing with your friends. None of my friends like to sing, so it's fun to sing by yourself. I'm kidding. Huh, funny. Okay, anyways. Hold on, wait a second, rewind. I forgot to mention that my best friend in the whole world is going to be calling in later. Her name is Chloe, so if you hear a different voice and I accidentally forget to introduce her, we'll see. Her name is Chloe. She has a podcast. It'd be really nice of you to go and check it out. It's probably better than mine. It's called All Things Artsy. It's also about arts. Yeah, it's cool. Try it out. I'm just going to let you get back to the podcast episode. Let's just go ahead and get right into this episode of My Macrology. I should probably start this off by telling you what UIL theater is. So, a lot of schools have different clubs and things. My school, I live in a Texas city somewhere. I'm not going to tell you, safety reasons, I'm smart. Okay, anyways, back to what I was saying. Texas cities. A lot of Texas schools have UILs. UILs, I forget what they stand for, but they are clubs and you can do tons of stuff. Right now I am in a music memory impromptu speaking, but earlier this year I had a UIL one act play. In this UIL, you learn a play for about 2 or 3 months and you have really limited people about like what you can pick. How many people you can have on stage, how many characters you can have, how long it can be. And, yeah, that's what it was. It was really stressful, but it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot about myself, about acting, about how much I love it. It was very good. It was an adult play that most groups don't do. Most groups do children plays. And we did The Importance of Being Earnest, and I was Lady Bracknell. I will tell you, Lady Bracknell is one of the hardest characters because she demands everyone's attention the second she steps one of those heeled feet on stage. You know she's the boss. You know you're not going to talk back to her or she's going to go tell your Mr. Bunbury friend to die in a hole. Long story. Maybe I'll explain it. Maybe I won't. We'll see. Anyways, about UIL theater. Like I said, there are very strict things. The Importance of Being Earnest, we had to get it clarified with people, and we had to make sure we could do it. The thing is, you can't come in over 45 minutes. And I don't know if you've ever seen this play, but it is 2.5 hours long. And so we got the one-act version, and it's where you have two scenes, so it's still the two acts, but they're turned into scenes. And then everything is just chopped, 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 chopped. So there's a lot less lines. But for my character, because she's Lady Bracknell, like I said, she demands attention, she's always there, she knows everything, she's that old grandmother that you never want to talk to, but you know you have to love because she's just so old. Okay, yeah, But she had the most lines. I think she had like 68 lines, which doesn't sound like a lot, but the fact that they were all paragraphs is what got me. So I would stay up night after night after night just reading through my lines, trying to get them seared into my brain. And I'm sure there are much, much, much better ways to do that, but that's how I did it. In this episode, I'm going to explain how to memorize. I'm going to explain character development. That was such a big key for me because I've never been an old lady before, and I had to learn how to be an old lady and act like an old lady and talk like an old lady, and not only just an old lady, a British regal old lady with money. That is nothing like me. So it was very interesting. The importance of being earnest is about a guy. His name is John, but everybody thinks his name is Ernest. It's not Ernest. That's his fake brother that he created so he could get married to this girl named Gwen. Later, we will have a call in from my friend, Gwen. Her name is Chloe. She played a really amazing Gwen. She got recognized by the judges because she was so amazing on stage. It was just really cool to see. I think that character development for us was really hard because we didn't get to have after school practices and dress rehearsals. We had one dress rehearsal. We could rarely get through one scene per class period because that's when we all were there and we were all able to work on it. And what we did was the second you walked in, if you were an actor, you dropped your crap and you grabbed a script and you started reading your lines. No matter if nobody was in that room to hear you, you started reading and you started the play. And that's how we did it. And then eventually it got to the point where I had to go to my teacher and I was like, we can't keep doing this. We need to have a dress rehearsal. Another big thing is schools have budgets, especially for middle school plays. And we did not have a big budget. We had a very tiny budget. And we were trying to make this timeline in like the 1930s with all of these really pretty clothes in Britain. But we had to kind of skimp on the stuff so that we could get better props to set the scenery. And so my costume took forever. The guys' costumes took forever. Gwendolyn had a good costume. Her costume was just there automatically because hers wasn't hard. But the rest of us had to wait. And when you have to wait for a costume, you can't do a dress rehearsal. And if you don't have your costumes and you don't have dress rehearsals, you can't stay after school in middle school because we're not a school play, we're a club play. And it was really stressful, and it took a lot of time, and it took a lot of effort. I'm not saying this to deteriorate any of you UILers from doing one-act play, because I promise it is one of the best things you can do, because it's just so much fun. I am trying to warn you that it is a lot of effort. Not only is it effort, it is staying dedicated to what you're doing, and there's always going to be those few actors that just, they don't want to cooperate. And they're doing it for the grade, they're not doing it for the love of acting. And so those people are kind of hard to work around. Character development for me. So I will always suggest watching the movie, but I could not get my hands on the movie of The Importance of Being Earnest. So I really just watched a whole bunch of YouTube videos. I learned how to do her voice. I learned how to walk like an old grandmother who owned the place. I learned all of these mannerisms and a lot of other things you can do. There's one thing that I did a couple times a week, and it's called method acting. It's where you fully immerse yourself in the character, and you're that character for that day, and whatever you say is what that character would say, and you have to really know your character to be able to do it, but it's also so much fun to explore your character like that. My friend who played Gwen, well, in this thing, Gwen was my daughter, so she and I would sit there and have conversations as Lady Bracknell and Gwendolyn, and we would just for like an hour, just character developing. And another good thing is to read your lines whenever, however, all the time. Gwendolyn, she liked to listen to her lines. She would put headphones in and she'd listen to herself saying them, and that helped her memorize. But I am the type of person that needs to see it and needs to write it out. So what I did was every time I had free time in class or I was at home and I didn't have anything to do, I took that pencil of mine and I wrote 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 all of my lines. And I would read them tons of times, and it was just, it all paid off. I'll tell you that. It was a lot of effort, and it paid off well. I mentioned earlier that we did not win first place. In fact, we got last. I'd like to go over why we got last. So, some of the reasons we got last were the fact that we had a couple actors that just did not want to cooperate, did not want to be there, and they would not put forth effort. So that really affected our show, especially since they were the two main characters. You're probably thinking, oh, then why didn't you pick other people? The school I go to is really small, so there weren't other people. It was just them. And they played the two main characters, and it was kind of a flop on their end. So Chloe, the person who plays Gwen, she and I, we were playing tag, trying to cover for them on stage. And it was kind of stressful, but I keep saying the word stressful, and I feel like I'm giving such a negative connotation, and I don't want to, because it's really, really fun. It's just a lot of stress. So, like I was talking about earlier, I have this friend who played Gwen. She's amazing, and here she is to talk about just the importance of being earnest, and what character development was like for her, and how she memorized her lines, and what her favorite line was. Hello, Chloe.
Hey.
So, you know why I have you here, right?
Yeah, about the UIL theater and importance of being earnest.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering, and I'm sure these people listening are wondering, what the character development process was like for you. Because I explained what it was for me, and I was wondering what it was for you.
Well, so, as they probably already know, I played Gwendolyn Fairfax in The Importance of Being Earnest. And I think that's a really interesting role because, you know, she's young and she's in love and she's also the daughter of the matriarch of the family who's very strict on how they operate. So her character is really, like, maybe not rebellious, but she does have a rebellious edge to her. So she does what her mom wants, but she also kind of plays with the rules a little bit, tries to manipulate them as much as she can. She kind of has a hidden mean side. She does throw some real shade in the play. I mean, it gets pretty intense right around the middle, but most of the time she keeps up an act where she's like the perfect pretty girl for the perfect family with the perfect fortune in all of England. Then, so character development, character development was really interesting. So this was the first year school had done it, so we didn't spend as much time on character development as a class, but we definitely developed our characters, like, throughout the whole process, even if some of us did subconsciously. So the way I developed my character was basically, at least during rehearsals, mostly I practiced being, like, during theater, I practiced being as kind of,
like, method acting, kind of. So, what were your methods, and, like, how did you memorize your lines so fast? Because we really didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe for professional actors a lot of time, but we're just in middle school, so, you know.
Yeah.
And most of us hadn't really done a production before. I think way more than half the cast and crew had never done a production before, so it was a process. But for me, I have a pretty good memory. I'm just going to, like, say that I do because I think I do, like, just off the bat. Like, I memorize random things for fun sometimes, like pie. But anyway, so to memorize the lines, what I did was I just practiced saying them over and over again. And if there's something that I get stuck on a lot, I record myself saying it. I listen to myself saying it. And then I say it with myself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I explained it. I explained that method earlier.
Yeah, like, if I have a line, I'll record myself saying it, and then I'll listen to it, like, three times, and then I'll, like, say my other lines, and then when that line comes up, I'll be like, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
Until I can, like, say it, I can remember it without having to, you know, read it. But I don't think the lines were the hardest to, like, memorize. I think it was my cues. Because I think during the end, I had some cues that weren't, like, in a conversation. Like, most of my cues were, like, enter Gwendolyn Fairfax,
and then it was like all blocking from there. You had to block the whole thing. There wasn't much like, this is what you're gonna do, and this is how you're gonna do it.
Yeah, and then, like, most conversations, like, I didn't really speak out in the middle of stuff. So, like, oh, boy, you know, I didn't speak out. They're mostly conversations because it's, like, a melodrama from, like, 1800s. But towards the end, what I just memorized my cues was whenever someone, like, whatever that last word was, I kind of, like, zone out until, like, that one person was talking, and then I'd listen real close, and I'd be like, is that the word? And then if I heard that one word that was at the end, I'd be like, okay, that's me.
Yeah.
And I had two lines at the end that were kind of random, so I'd have to, like, not mix them up.
Yeah.
So I think that was the hardest part. If it was more of, like, the cues, not the entering cues, because I was always introduced, but, like, the, like, when I say my line.
Yeah.
I think that was the hardest part.
Yeah. So I was wondering if you could remember your favorite line from that play.
Like, I really like this line because I think it's kind of funny, but I also, I like the whole conversation. There are quite a few lines. So I like a line where I'm talking, it's the whole part of the line where I'm talking to Ernest, who's like my love interest, and the other guy, Algernon, he's my cousin, he's over there like in the corner and he's kind of secretly listening to our conversation.
He's being very shady and shifty. That's what that character is doing.
Yeah. But also, we did this thing during rehearsals because he would have a bell and he'd ring the bell for, like, the butler to come and escort me to my carriage. And because I'd say, Algie, you may turn around now, you may also ring the bell. And because we didn't have a bell, he'd always go,
ding-a-ling. And it was always...
So I thought that was, yeah, that's like an inside joke between us. And also, he said, your character said, Algernon, Algernon. And you go, yes, Aunt Augusta. So that's like...
Yeah, and also, there was this one part in the play where it says mama, but it has, like, an exclamation point, so it looks like it says mammal, and there was this one time where
I always forget to say it, too, so they always yell at me during rehearsals, and they'd be like, mammal, that's what we just started saying, and on the day of the production, I was, like, actually really scared that I was going to say mammal, but I was going to be like, mammal, because it's mama.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I think my favorite line is, you put lumps of sugar in my tea, and even though I asked for bread and butter, you have given me cake. I warn you, Miss, Cardew, you may go too far.
Miss, Cardew.
Yeah, I used to say Miss Fairfax. That's supposed to be my last name. That's another thing I was really sure was going to mess up, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I just like that whole conversation between me and the other character, Cecily, because we both throw a lot of shade.
They're both kind of, like, tense, and they're also kind of catty and mean, but, like, you can't tell unless you're very invested in the story.
And also, like, Cecily, she says stuff like, would you like sugar? And I'm like, no, sugar is not fashionable anymore. And I kind of look around, and she's like, cake or bread and butter? And I'm like...
Cake is never.
And I kind of look around at, like, her estate, and I'm like,
judgy. She's just very judgy.
At the best houses.
Yeah. And then my favorite line, my favorite line is, well, I think it is high time that Mr. Bunbury made up his mind whether he was going to live or to die. She's basically telling this guy that his fake friend should go die in a hole because she sees right through his crap. She knows that it's not, like, a person. She knows he's making it up. And I just love it so much. And I would always have so much fun because after that is the word shilly-shallying.
Oh, she approaches. She is nigh.
Yeah, there's also this character named Dr. Chasuble. And he's got a love interest named Miss Prism. And I'm mad at Miss Prism for some reason. And I'm not going to explain it because if you want to see the thing.
Because she lost her baby.
I wasn't going to spoil it for everyone, Chloe. Wow.
Your sister's baby. Well, I'm sorry, but, like...
Okay, anyways.
Plenty of it, anyway.
Anyways, Dr. Chasuble, I go, Dr. Chas... I don't say it in a southern accent, that's for sure. I say, Dr. Chasuble, where is Miss Prism? And he goes, she approaches, she is nigh. And it's just, like, the funniest thing.
Yeah, it's because, like, you never hear, like, she is nigh. You never hear that because... an old play.
Yeah.
It's really great, though. I'm glad we got to do that one. Because it's like a melodrama, so all the characters are like, you love me, don't you? And you enter on stage and you're like, hello, audience. I know you adore me. Thank you very much.
Yeah. The thing that our group struggled with is he didn't tell us it was a melodrama. So a lot of people weren't practicing like it was a melodrama.
Yeah, that was something that came up. We didn't have as much time, because, it was our first year doing it and we weren't sure, how everything was going to go down and stuff.
Yeah. But it was good. We got last place, but it was good. That's all for now, my micrologists. Don't forget to have a happy day and make someone smile. And do an act of service. With love, Maddie.